ladies get back from the mountains as they took some packages up this week. And so it started snowing on the way up there, but the Lord sent them back home. And I appreciate everyone's giving to those people up in the Carolinas. And so I appreciate our ladies coming back. They've got a video to show and a couple of Wednesday nights from the trip. I think it'll be a blessing to the one of the families that were able to help there. But it's so good to see you this morning. A very special day. Megan, as I said, she's done a video. I've seen it before service. And it just stole my breath away. I seen Brother David. He was young, skinny, and tall. Amen. And I seen little Emily, her and Brother Tim's having to work today. All these mail orders we've made, they're trying to get them delivered. But I see a lot of the little ones. And Miss Dawn seen Hunter there, a little old kid. I said, well, look, I married them. And then I seen some, I said, I buried them. Amen. Buried them. God is God of it all. Now, I'm glad He sent His Son. Amen. To die for the sins of this world. Why He would die for me, right, I'd never know. Amen. But I'm glad He did. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 1, verse 18. Here the Bible says, and it does matter what the Bible says. He said, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When it is His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. By the way, that's not exposed, that's espoused. Amen. Before they came together, and she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Can I tell you, God is so faithful. When you don't understand what's going on in your family, there's a God in heaven that knows it all. And so God appeared back to Joseph. Could you imagine what Joseph is thinking? I mean, here I am engaged. We're going to be married. And now she's with child. We've not been together. Somebody say amen. Boy, Joseph had to have a lot of faith as well. The Bible said, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. I'm glad God is faithful. He said, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which conceived in her is the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you. Thank you for the good grace of God. Thank you for this time of Christmas. Thank you for our people and family. I pray now that you'd get the honor and the glory. Help us in this text. Do that only what you can do. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Verse 25, the Bible said, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I want to preach on this simple subject today on Jesus is the reason for the season. Jesus is the reason for the season. I've heard a lot of happy holidays. Turn around, tell somebody Merry Christmas this month. Turn around, tell them Merry Christmas this month. My Lord, it ain't about Santa Claus, and it's about the Lord Jesus and His goodness and mercy and grace. Oh, I'm glad He is the reason for the season. You say, preacher, why you say that? Hold your spot right there. I want you to turn the right in your Bibles. Luke's Gospel. Want you to be there in just a second. I want to say He's the reason because of the miracle how He came. The miracle how He came. The Bible said that Mary, a virgin woman, was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Why is that so important? Because we had to have a sinless Savior. I sure am glad that Joseph was not his father. Because if me and you run our family tree and our fathers, we'll find out that we had sin in our lives. That's why we must be born again. But Jesus was conceived by the Holy Ghost. There he was, the perfect, the spotless, sinless Lamb. The miracle, how he came. The providence of his birth. Can I tell you, as Brother Dana was saying this morning, there was no accident or mistake that Jesus came along. Can I tell you, there was a sovereign God sitting on his throne, and he realized that we needed a Savior. The old prophet Micah, he had something to say about the providence of his birth. He said in Micah 5:2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Well, you say, now, preacher, the providence of his birth. Yes, Micah, the great prophet, declared that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. You see, Jesus was from Nazareth, but God had it set up. They'd go back and they'd bring them to bring their taxes. Somebody say amen right there. And come back into Bethlehem. And that's where our great Savior would be born. The providence of his birth. But now Luke 2:1. Look at the place of his birth. The Bible said when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" Isn't that something? We're come to worship him. The place of his birth. I'm glad in God's providence he brought him right where he needed to be. Aren't you glad we've got a God that's over everything in our lives? He places everything in our paths just when we need it. And so the miracle, how he came. There's been a lot of births that's happened, but it's never been a birth like Jesus' birth. And here, the providence of his birth, the place of his birth. But if you would, look in Luke 2 and verse number 7, there you'll see the picture of his birth. The Bible said, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." My goodness, there's the picture of his birth. Isn't it something? They wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Simply bandages or grave garments. Can I tell you, all of us, we have been born to live, but Jesus was born to die. Yeah. To die for the sins of the world. And even though they could not find any room for him in the inn, I'm glad God had a place for him. They wrapped him in the swaddling clothes. It is a picture of his birth, of the death of the old rugged cross. Aren't you glad that Jesus died for the sins of the world? And so here the miracle, how he came, the providence, the place, and the picture. But look at the poverty. Luke 2:7. He said, "And they laid him in a manger, because there is no room for them in the inn." Isn't it amazing that Jesus left the riches of heaven, came born in a lowly stable? You know, that does my heart good when I seen this about Jesus. He did not come upon a throne with a crown, but he was born in a lowly place, and he was going to go to an old rugged cross and die for the sins of this world. Can I tell you, Jesus knows about poverty. He knows what it is to be poor, yet to be rich. Can I tell you, if you've got Jesus today and you don't have any money in the bank, you're the most wealthy person in the United States. I'm glad our Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And I'm glad what the old man of God said. He not only owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, he owns all the taters under the hill. Somebody say amen. He's a good God, and he owns everything. And if you've got Jesus, you got it all this morning. And if you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. You're not going to take nothing out of this life with you. Only what we leave out in our heart. I'm glad Jesus loved sinners and was born in a lowly place. You see, Jesus, the reason for the season. The miracle, how He came. But look at Matthew 1:21 of the text, the meaning of His name. Here, He said in Matthew 1 and verse 21, she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call His name Jesus. You know, there's been a lot of very popular names. Matter of fact, in 2000, they took a census. Could you all imagine what's the most two popular names that was given in America? One was Jacob, and the girl's name was Emily. But can I tell you, there's been nobody like Jesus. And so hear the meaning of His name. We see the identity of it. Jesus simply means this, church. Jehovah is salvation. So the meaning of His name. We see here to be called Jesus, we see that by identity. Oh, there's a lot of people. There's many that's been called Jesus. But there's only one Jesus that was conceived by the Holy Ghost, walked in this world perfect, and died on an old rugged cross. And the third day He got out of the grave, and now He sits on the right-hand side of the Father. The meaning of His name, it has to do with identity. I like what Philippians has to say about this text. He said in the book of Philippians, chapter number 2, in verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. And here it is. And given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The meaning of His name, it has to do with identity. But secondly, we see not only the identity, but we see the intention. He said that He would save His people from their sins. That word save means simply to rescue from danger. Can somebody say He rescued me? I was a sinking man. I was sinking deep in sin, but I'm glad the Savior came and took me in. Oh, what a Savior! He reached down and rescued me. And it reminds me of His intentions. He came to save the world. Yeah. Did you know this? I wouldn't be much of an old country preacher if I didn't tell you today. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. And you better get saved by God's amazing grace, because He loves you and He sent the Savior for you. And I'm glad we have Christmas in our heart this morning. It's a blessing to be saved in this day, in this hour. You say, preacher, we got visitors and you act like this. This is the only way I know to act. When Jesus moves in, He'll make a difference in your life. And you ought to thank God that He sent His Son to pay our sin debt and to rescue us from our sins. Some of the hardest people I've ever seen to be won for Christ is those that do pretty good morally. But the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. The most religious man in the Bible, Nicodemus, came unto Jesus by night. He said, Rabbi, now we know thou art a teacher that come from God, for no man can do these things lest God be with him. And Jesus responded this way, Brother Kevin, you must be born again. And I sure am glad that God made a way that we could all be born again. Jesus, He would save His people from their sins. Jesus is the reason for the season. The meaning of His name. We see the meaning, His identity, His intention. But there I see inspiration. He shall save. His people from their sin. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't throw His cross down? Jesus set His face as a flint and went all the way to Calvary's cross. As a little child, as He grew up in that manger, there as He become to know Mary and Joseph. There He started working in a carpenter shop. There He started doing great and mighty things. But every mile of the way, He was reminded He is headed to an old Roman cross to die for you and die for me. And honey, when somebody will die for you, it ought to mean something to you. Oh, I sure am glad that He rescued me. You see, because why is Jesus the reason for the season, preacher? Because the miracle how He came. Secondly, because the meaning of His name. But thirdly, look in Matthew 1:23 at the majesty of His claim. Boy, He claimed something. We see Him in Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 23. He said this, "Behold, a virgin shall be with a child, shall bring forth a son. They shall call His name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted, God with us. The majesty of His claim. You see, at Bethlehem, we see God with us. Isn't that amazing? The precious Son of God, the God-man, was born in a lowly stable. And at Bethlehem, we see Him as Emmanuel, God with us. But at Calvary, we see Him as God for us. Can I tell you, He does not matter your skin color. He does not care about your gender, because He knows you're male or female. Somebody say amen. We're not confused on gender around here. But He died for the sins of this whole world. And at Calvary, there's God for us. At Bethlehem, God with us. At Pentecost, we've been studying that, the book of Acts, chapter number 2. We see the God in us. I'm glad God lives in us this morning. The Bible said when we respond to Him by faith, we're born again from above. The Spirit of God comes and lives in our heart. And I sure am glad that He lives in me today. You see the majesty of His claim. At Bethlehem, there's God with us. At Calvary, there is God for us. At Pentecost, there is God in us. But then lastly, at the return, Brother James has been preaching about that on Wednesday night, we see God getting us. I'm glad the Lord is soon to return. What a great day that's going to be when Jesus comes. Lastly this morning, Jesus is the reason for the season. He's the reason because the miracle how He came. Secondly, it's because the meaning of His name. Thirdly, because the majesty of His claim. But lastly, I want you to see this little text. Turn to the right in Matthew 9 verse 27. We see the message of His fame. The message of His fame. Matthew 9 verse 27. You ever notice this text about His fame? "And when Jesus departed, two blind men followed Him, crying," look what they are saying. Brother Lee, I thought about you yesterday when I read this. "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." When He was coming to the house, the blind men came to Him. And Jesus said unto him, "Believe ye that I'm able to do this?" They said unto Him, "Yeah, Lord." Don't quit believing.
Right.
Keep on believing on Jesus. There's nothing too hard for Him.
Right.
I know some of you's about give up on your circumstance, but don't give up. Jesus is more than able.
Amen.
Jesus is with us. God with us as Emmanuel. The Bible said, "Then touched He their eyes, and He said, according to your faith, be it unto you." Their eyes were open, And Jesus strictly charged him, saying, look what he says. See that no man know it. Brother Mike, I've always wondered a lot why Jesus would say that in a lot of passages. He said, I've done this, your eyes are open, but he charged them, see that no man know it. But I like what they done. But they, when they were departed, they spread abroad his fame in all that country. They went out, and behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with the devil. And the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. Miss Sherry, you come this morning. Preacher, what are you saying? Well, Jesus is the reason for the season. I want to try to encourage all you mom and daddies and grandparents, when you gather around that tree Christmas morning. We went last night to the Ayers reunion back over to the old home church where I got saved at Sandy Flat Baptist Church, not far through here. We gathered in the old sanctuary and we began to sing a lot of the songs. All of Renee's cousins, all of her aunts and uncles have gone and passed on. And I was looking, now we are the older ones, Christy. I looked at all them young people there. Brother Randall, the house was filled with 25-year-old down. You know, some of their little old kids got to running around, and that don't bother me. I can step over children preaching. I thank God your children's here. Amen. But I got to thinking about his fame and what he does and our families at Christmas. I got to looking around. So many of Renee's cousins, like myself, we're all getting older, and we're going to leave this world, and we're going to meet God. And it's got to be somebody to hold these families and these churches together. And young people, Christmas morning, I want to encourage you, before you open your first gift, you open up the Bible to Matthew or Luke, to the great Christmas morning story, and tell them Jesus is the reason for the season. He's been so good to me.
Yes, sir.
I can't hardly wait till next Sunday. I don't know. But that ain't here yet, is it? This is this Sunday. Now, I tell you what we can do. We can be thankful in our hearts. Miss Sherry's going to play. If you got a need in your life, I want to remind you, Jesus is the reason. May we celebrate him in truth and spirit at our houses this weekend. Thank God for a church filled with people that know about the reason. You may be here today and you've never been saved. By God's grace, I want to encourage you to come by faith. God said you could be saved by grace through faith, but you'll have to come as a little child. Trust his finished work on the cross. He shed his blood for you.
Yes, sir.
Some of you got children and family. You ought to thank God for that this morning. So you just mind him. My sister plays. The altar's open. If you have a need, you come. Whatever it is between you and the Lord, would you come this morning? Whatever you need today, would you come? I'm thankful for Christmas. Never been saved, it'd be a good morning to step out by faith, trust Christ, because he loves you.